Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again, and welcome to another exciting, insightful, uplifting and inspirational Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. On Tuesday the 20th of January 2009, the world united to watch one man, a very special man, but just a man for a' that, as Robert Burns would say, a very talented and able man, but one facing a roller coaster ride which has only just begun. There has been the mounting excitement as the hype got cranked up and up, with all the thrill and fear of climbing to the top of the ride. Now the downward rush begins, as multiple massive, seemingly impossible problems blow into his face. Terrorism, war in Iraq, war in Afghanistan, Iran acquiring nuclear weapons, Gaza and the Middle East, global recession and global warming. His popularity ratings are sky high, but as soon as he makes tough choices, he will lose somebody's support. He is talented, he has an able team around him, but the problems are massive, and so far no one has solved them. The burden of inflated expectations on President Barack Obama is immense. America, and indeed the rest of the world, really does wish Barack Obama well. The world really does long for a real world leader, someone who can transcend petty party politics and rise above vested interests, be morally courageous and have vision, and make tough choices, bashing heads together, changing things, fixing things, giving us hope, someone in whom we can trust. The world always does long for a messiah, a superhero, a saviour, a larger-than-life go-getter, fixer, healer, a make-a-difference-for-good person, a redeemer of all life's messes, a reconciler of all our divisions, a solver of all our problems. It's a natural and perennial impulse, and why not? But people often deny this impulse, this basic human longing. People often latch on to false messiahs, and many there have been, and people often dismiss and reject Jesus as possibly being the Messiah, the Saviour and the Redeemer. Barack Obama has his merits, but don't kid yourself. Barack Obama is just a man. He may be a special man, but he's just a man, not a Messiah, and certainly not the Messiah. He may be a special man in a special circumstance, but just a man. Barack Obama is not the saviour of the world, but Jesus is. Jesus is more than just a man. Jesus is more than just a very special man. Jesus is more than just a preacher, a teacher, a healer, a prophet, a martyr, a champion of the weak, a charismatic leader, a breath of fresh air, a man for the moment, a special man in special circumstances. Jesus is much more than just a man.
The Nazarene had come to live the life of every man, and he felt the fascination of the stars. And as he wandered through this weary world, he wondered and he wept, for there were so few who listened to his call. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. And the fact of his humanity was there for all to see, for he was unlike any other man, and yet so much like me. Nazarene could hunger, and the Nazarene could cry, and he could laugh with all the fullness of his heart. And those who hardly knew him, and those who knew him well, could feel the contradiction from the start. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. And the fact of his humanity was there for all to see, for he was unlike any other man, and yet so much like me. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. And the fact of his humanity was there for all to see, for he was unlike any other man, and yet so much like me.
Jesus is much more than just a man. Barack Obama cannot walk on water. Barack Obama cannot calm storms. He cannot feed multitudes, heal the blind, the lame, the deaf, the paralyzed. Barack Obama cannot cast out demons and raise the dead. Some folk will argue that at least metaphorically he'll have to walk on water and calm storms. At least indirectly his policies will have to help feed the masses with his welfare reforms and his overseas aid. And he'll have to heal the sick with Medicare reform of the US healthcare. And some will argue that at least in some practical ways he will have to cast out demons, like tackle terrorism and calm down the Middle East. And he'll have to raise the dead in giving people new hope. Half the world watched the inauguration of the 44th President of the United States. 2 million people were there live in Washington, D.C. to experience it. In the crowd were many who had taken part in the civil rights movement under Martin Luther King. They had stood there when he gave his visionary speech, "I have a dream," and all that. Now their dream was coming true. There's a saying going round America at the moment. It begins, "Rosa Parks sat." You remember Rosa Parks was the black woman who sat in the front seat of the bus, when in those days black people were supposed to sit in the back seat and leave the front for the whites. The saying goes like this: Rosa Parks sat so that Martin Luther King could walk, so that Barack Obama could run, so that our children can fly. A Nigerian man in the crowd said that he'd come all the way to the inauguration from Nigeria because he believed that Barack Obama would, in his words, eliminate poverty in Africa. How's that for heightened expectations? Susan Watts, the BBC Two Newsnight science reporter, said, Scientists believe that Obama has just 4 years to save the world from global warming. Who do they think he is? Batman? Superman? God? Then Newsnight's economic reporter added in, "The American economy needs Obama to create 4 million new jobs by 2010. Just like that, eh? President Obama's first act on his first full day of work after the inauguration was to go to church and pray to Jesus for help. At least Barack Obama knows that he's not the saviour of the world and that Jesus is. However, BBC Radio 4 News, in reporting this event, played music from that church service, the song "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," and they applied it not to Jesus but to Obama. And the news item finished by saying, "He, Obama, has got the whole world in his hands, and he's also got all the world's cares on his shoulders." As if he heard all the clamouring expectations upon him, Barack Obama, in his inaugural address, said, in my own words, "It's not all about me, folks. It's about us as a nation. We together have to pull our weight. We together have to bite the bullets, and together work hard, and together make things happen." You see, in football, managers get signed as great heroes and great saviours of the club. A wee while later, they get sacked as the scapegoats. They get blamed for all the club's problems. And they come in and they go out, rather than the clubs addressing the real problems. We do the same in politics. We vote the politicians in, then we vote the politicians out, all the time not dealing with the fundamental issues. We do the same in church life. Ministers come in as great heroes and then go out as villains. In the past week, I've been at 3 inductions of new ministers, and they come in as such great heroes. And then they're great heroes to some extent when they leave, but it's the bit in the middle that's the awkward bit, when we get down to brass tacks and deal with the issues. Jesus' induction, or inauguration if you like, I think would be on Palm Sunday. People lined the streets. They welcomed Jesus as their King, their Messiah, their Saviour. They waved palm branches in worship. They strewed his path with palm branches and cloaks, making an impromptu red carpet. They acclaimed him as their Lord and Master and God, King of the Jews, they called him. And they cried out, Hosanna, which is a Hebrew word meaning save us. In Jesus' case, they weren't wrong. He was their Saviour. He was the Saviour of the world, the only Saviour of the world. He is God. He is the King of the Jews and all the Gentiles. Jesus is the Saviour of the world, as I was saying. It goes back to the angel saying to Joseph, You shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And one day, the Bible says, At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord and God. But Jesus was not their Saviour in the way that they expected him to be. He was not there to overthrow the Roman invaders by force of arms and set up a free state of Israel. Jesus was their Saviour, but on his own terms. He was setting up the kingdom of God, not another kingdom of men. He was the King of hearts and souls and minds, not of a territory. A Saviour who chose the way of the manger, a towel and the cross. The suffering servant God, not the one lording it over other people. Jesus came to call us to discipleship, to take up our cross and follow him, to self-sacrificing love and service, to blood, sweat and tears in Churchill's terms. Jesus is not the genie of our lamp, popping up to serve us, as and when we rub hard. Jesus is not our fairy godmother, waving a magic wand, making bad things go away. Jesus is not the great escape from all our problems. Jesus calls us to go into all the world, in the Three Towns area at least in our case, and to preach and teach and baptize and love and serve and be examples, sacrificially.
Winter has truly begun.
chill of the night. We are waiting for, waiting for the Savior's day. Started their journey home to be with someone on the Savior's day.
Jesus is the Saviour, but we each have our part to play with him. Jesus is the capital M minister. I, as a clergyman, reckon that I'm an assistant minister. But each person has their own little ministry. I wrote to one of the ministers recently inducted and ordained into our first charge. I said to her, "People will be saying to you, the morning after the induction, you'll get a cold shock. When the phone rings, it will be for you. No more passing the buck to the minister. You will be the minister, and the buck stops with you." But when folks say that, they're wrong. I never felt that cold shock because I've always believed that I'm just the assistant minister. I think that's why ministers wear dog collars. They're like the sheepdogs to the good shepherd. I can still pass the buck in prayer to the boss. I can then sleep peacefully at nights. So Jesus is the minister, I the assistant, and each one of us, with our various ministries and roles, can serve him. But we do have jobs to do for him. President Obama called on the people of America and the world to pull their weight. Jesus calls on each and all of us to pull our weight too. John F. Kennedy, in his inaugural address, put it very well. He said, "Ask not what America can do for you, ask what you can do for America." So ask not what Jesus and the kingdom of God can do for you, ask what you can do for Jesus and the kingdom of God. The question is, will America translate the feel-good factor at the inauguration into practical action? And will you translate the feel-good worship factor into discipleship this coming week? Jesus saves, but Jesus only saves those who follow his lead, those who accept his good grace in good faith. And then we can be part of the Saviour's saving of the world. It's exciting, isn't it? Well, bye for now. Until the next time, have fun. And I leave you with the spring harvest song, My Jesus, My Saviour.
My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty.